This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Clinton coronation. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, June 7th. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is now the party's nominee after late support from superdelegates. Meanwhile, rival Bernie Sanders says not so fast.
Tropical storm Colin has come ashore in Florida, lashing the Gulf Coast while en route to Georgia and South Carolina.
A recall effort underway for a California judge who sentenced a rapist to 6 months in prison when prosecutors wanted 6 years.
And proof co-signing for loans is risky business.
About 40% of co-signers had to pay some or all of the bill. 30% had their credit score hit because the other person paid late or didn't pay at all. And then about 1 in 4 co-signers said that the experience hurt the relationship with the person that they co-signed for.
Matt Schultz at creditcards.com on a new survey shining an ugly light on co-signing for loans. He's here in about 20 minutes. Well, thanks to some last-minute show of support from a number of superdelegates, Hillary Clinton has secured the Democratic nomination for president. The news broke last night on the eve of another big primary day today when California, New Jersey, and 4 others hold contests. The former Secretary of State is the first woman to lead the ticket for a major U.S. political party.
Donald Trump is not qualified to be president of the United States of America. But we can't just say that and assume everybody understands it. We have to make the case.
Meanwhile, her rival in the primary, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, spent yesterday campaigning in the San Francisco Bay Area, saying it's not fair to count superdelegates as part of Mrs. Clinton's numbers because those voters could change their minds before the party convention in July.
I should point out to all of the Democratic delegates going to Philadelphia, in every instance, we beat Trump by far larger margins than does Hillary Clinton.
There are 475 delegates up for grabs in today's California primary. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Angry voters, an establishment Democrat, and a flamboyant celebrity running as a Republican who's promising to destroy the status quo. You're thinking, yeah, this year's presidential election. But as California voters go to the polls in today's primary, they're having flashbacks to 2003, when former Governor Gray Davis was being challenged by actor Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a story from Bloomberg White House correspondent Margaret Tolov. Margaret, what'd you write about?
Talking to a range of voters across the partisan spectrum, they all had different on both that recall in 2003 and the presidential election, but almost all of them did see many of the same similarities in terms of power of a celebrity campaign, just the disaffection of voters, the feeling they're frustrated with the status quo, they want to shake things up and send a message. But, you know, where the real divergence was on the question of whether or not Donald Trump could have the same appeal in a general election that Arnold Schwarzenegger did in that election.
Right. All right. So what are some of the feelings regarding that?
Well, there are some obvious similarities. Again, there's celebrity and the feeling that this is like a household name. You know, this is a guy that you know, or you feel that you know him because you've seen him. He's sort of humorous, fun to watch, off the cuff, that sort of thing. That's what he's thinking. That appeals to many people. But the main difference in terms of their approach was that when Arnold Schwarzenegger ran, he really ran as a moderate Republican, a centrist, some outreach across party lines to the left, particularly on issues like climate change and global warming, the environment, and some on the area of reform, whereas Donald Trump has really run a different sort of campaign so far. And another distinction that might be worth noting is that Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, at the time was married to Marie Shriver at Kennedy, and that had some appeal or credentials to Democrats.
No, we're speaking with Margaret Tolov, White House correspondent at Bloomberg. She's got a piece entitled "The 2016 Race in California Recalls Another Unconventional Campaign," and she's referring to the recall in 2003 of former Governor Gray Davis, who was replaced by actor Arnold Schwarzenegger. I thought the point that former Governor Gray Davis made was fascinating in that he said, being a wealthy celebrity means people think they know you, something you just alluded to. Are there regrets, or like, how do California voters feel now? Any read on that?
Right. So again, that's really interesting because it tended to break down along party lines. There were many Republicans who I spoke with who said they had voted for the recall and they had voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and that they didn't think he had lived up to expectations, that he came in, you might recall, wanting to blow up the boxes, was a phrase he liked to use. But it became much harder to do some of those reforms that he had talked about doing. And in many ways, he had sort of patched the state back together in the ways that Republicans didn't want Democrats to do, like raising taxes or, you know, floating more bondish. But many of the folks who had liked him to begin with said they would do it again anyway. Difference was that in their own mind, before they cast a vote like that, they now know not to expect as much change as the person is promising.
And I think to that point, you said that in California, there's a feeling that the governor's hands are tied based on the way the House and Senate operate in Sacramento, I guess.
Right. This is actually kind of depressing, again, across party lines, that many of the voters on both sides of the aisle felt like, on some level, it didn't matter who they elected. Nothing was going to change. Now, one thing that's different about California than the national system is California has all these ballot processes and initiatives that lock in taxation and spending and this sort of thing. On the other hand, I suppose you could argue the Congress has almost become like a ballot initiative process themselves. But you know, if you know who the majority is, you know what is or isn't going to pass, that the opportunities for compromise on things like infrastructure or trade bills are getting harder and harder and harder to do, so that a president is locked in arguably more than in decades past by who the controlling party in Congress is.
Thanks, Margaret. Margaret Tolliv, Bloomberg White House correspondent. 13 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan's ranking as a top 10 pro-business state. 2000 is the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Thanks for being with us. Florida Governor Rick Scott has declared a state of emergency for 34 counties as Tropical Storm Colin made landfall, lashing the Gulf Coast. The storm is expected to continue traveling northeast into the Atlantic after passing across the Panhandle to Georgia and South Carolina. Although South Florida counties were not included on the list, the storm is expected to bring the region heavy rain and a risk of tornadoes.
The damage, the flooding, whatever, the rain is going to be to the east. We're expecting some storm surge. Right now it appears the storm surge will be at our low tide, which is positive. We're expecting 3 to 5 inches of rain, as much as 8 inches of rain around the state.
Sandbags are being stacked in St. Petersburg, Tampa, nearby cities, a measure to manage flooding from rain and storm surge caused by the wind. A tropical storm warning was issued for about 350 miles. Along the Gulf Coast of Florida. As the storm neared, high school graduations were postponed in Tampa. Schools in adjacent Pasco County announced plans to close early, and 36 state parks and campgrounds were evacuated. The National Weather Service said stormy weather will continue throughout the week. Well, there's a movement to recall a judge in California after his decision to give a former champion swimmer at Stanford University a 6-month jail sentence for raping an unconscious woman. Prosecutors wanted 6 years behind bars for 20-year-old Brock Turner. By this morning, more than 191,000 people had signed a petition to recall Santa Clara County Superior Court Judge Aaron Persky. Judges are elected in California. Mr. Persky, identified as a Stanford alum, says Mr. Turner's age and lack of criminal history justify the six-month sentence, plus he has to register as a sex offender. Stanford law professor Michelle Dauber.
Stanford University has long struggled with this issue and has not done the job that it should have in keeping women safe and protecting them from sexual assault.
Of note in this case, two letters to the judge, one from the victim who described her ordeal in 12 blistering pages, and another from Mr. Turner's father, who didn't think his son deserved any prison time for what he called, quote, 20 minutes of action. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hillary Clinton heads into today's California primary and five other contests knowing that she has enough delegates to clinch the Democratic presidential nomination. But Bernie Sanders says it's not over yet.
Our job is to convince every delegate that in a race against Donald Trump and the need to defeat Donald Trump, which we all agree on, Bernie Sanders is the strongest candidate.
Sanders says calling the Democratic contest before superdelegates formally vote at the convention is a rush to judgment. At least 11 people have been killed and scores injured after a bus carrying riot police was targeted in a car bomb explosion in Istanbul today. Seven police officers and four civilians have died, while 36 have been injured. The bomb was placed inside a car parked on the side of the road and detonated as the police bus was passing by. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. The Baltimore police officer facing the most serious charge stemming from the death of a 25-year-old black man whose neck was broken in the back of a transport wagon has waived his right to a jury trial. Officer Caesar Goodson's fate will be decided by a judge. Goodson faces manslaughter and other charges in connection with the death of Freddie Gray. Mixed martial artist Kevin Ferguson, better known to the world as Kimbo Slice, has died at the age of 42. Slice was hospitalized yesterday for undisclosed reasons close to his home in South Florida. No word on the cause of death. Steph Curry has withdrawn from consideration from the Olympics, leaving the U.S. basketball team without the NBA's MVP. Curry says he decided to pull out for several factors, including recent ankle and knee injuries. And now they're just one win away. The Penguins topped the Sharks last night 3-1 behind the goaltending of Matt Murray.
My mindset has been this whole time to just stay in the moment and take things as they come and focus on being in the present and taking things one shot at a time. So I think that's been working for me.
Pittsburgh leads the series 3-1 and can win the Stanley Cup on Thursday night.
They weren't even supposed to win their division, were they? Here they are on the verge of winning the Stanley
Cup.
Yeah,
and everybody thought San Jose was going to win this, but, well, we shall see.
How about that? Thank you, Jen. It's 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday. Ever co-sign on a loan for a family member or friend and then get burned? A new study by creditcards.com finds a good number of cosigners had to pay some or all of the bill because the primary borrower did not. And that, in turn, led to a fractured relationship between the cosigners. More from Matt Schultz, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com. Matt, give us some findings.
About 40% of cosigners had to pay some or all of the bill because the primary borrower didn't. 30% had their credit score hit because the other person paid late or didn't pay at all. And then about 1 in 4 cosigners said that the experience hurt the relationship with the person that they cosigned for. So you add all that up, and that's a big deal.
Wow. Is this mostly with regards to student loans or what?
Auto loans were the most common type of thing to co-sign for. That accounted for 51% of all co-signings. Personal loans were about 25%, and student loans were about 20%.
All right, so what are you supposed to do then if somebody asks for help, you know, a relative or a friend you're really close to?
Well, my best piece of advice if you're considering co-signing is know your co-signer very, very well, and be sure that you have as much visibility into that account as you possibly can. So, in other words, trust but verify.
We speak with Matt Schultz, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com, about a survey that finds co-signing for loans often ends badly for the co-signer. Any way else to protect yourself other than to say be sure you know who you're getting into it with here?
Well, it's important to have some conversations right from the beginning. It's important to talk to the lender to know how much access you have to the account. So, for example, if you have a credit card and the credit line gets increased or the interest rates change, will you as a cosigner know that information? Or if there's a late payment, will you be informed? Because the more you know, the sooner you know it, the less likely you are to be blindsided by something bad happening with this account.
26% chance of damaging a relationship. Is that, you think, a lack of communication or understanding, or is that somebody disappointed that they decided to co-sign to begin with?
It's probably a little of both. I mean, I think that most of the time, both parties go into co-signing with good intentions,
sure,
but sometimes bad things happen and things can end up being a mess. It's just so important to communicate as much as you possibly can about this as early as you can, because nobody wants to get blindsided, and the damage to a relationship can be a lot more if something is a big surprise at the end.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Schultz, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In just minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, June 7. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Clinton clinches the nomination ahead of today's primaries. States of emergency in more than 30 Florida counties because of a tropical storm. A boy who competes as a girl wins big in the Alaska High School Track Championships. MMA and YouTube fighter Kimbo Slice has died of unknown causes at the age of 42. A jury says the Grim Sleeper, as he's known, should be put to death. Chinese investors buying 70% of famed European soccer team Inter Milan. And the Broncos visit to the White House. That story in about 20 minutes. Democrats, who at one point had dismissed hopes of retaking the majority in the House of Representatives this year, now feel their odds have improved since Donald Trump became the Republican presidential nominee. Mike DeBonis at The Washington Post says since Mr. Trump remains deeply unpopular among certain groups like minorities and women, Democrats have scrambled to convince enough credible, well-funded candidates to enter races that could flip control of the lower chamber, where they face a deficit of 30 seats. Mike, what are you hearing?
You know, obviously the rise of Donald Trump has taken Democrats by surprise across the board. Going into this election year, even before we saw what happened with Trump, you know, Democrats thought they had a very good chance of keeping the White House and a very good chance of retaking the majority in the Senate. But one thing they weren't talking about seriously was retaking the majority in the House, where they are facing the largest deficit they've seen in generations. They're down 30 seats in the 435-seat House. They were looking at this as a project not of 2 years or 4 years, but really to continue through 2022 after the next congressional redistricting. As Donald Trump started racking up victory after victory in the primaries, as they started looking at their own polls, at focus groups, at research they'd done, they realized that Trump's rise might actually accelerate that process, that they might be able to compete for seats, particularly suburban seats, where with a Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or John Kasich at the top of the ticket, voters probably wouldn't be looking to elect a Democrat. But with the Donald Trump saying the things he said and acting the way he's acted, they believe that there are going to be significant numbers of voters who are going to be voting for Democrats instead of Republicans.
We're speaking with Mike DeBonis, congressional reporter at The Washington Post. He's got a piece entitled Inside Democrats' Trump-Fueled Scramble to Take Back the House. How much of a role will voter enthusiasm play? Any way to calculate that at this point, Mike?
I think enthusiasm right now is it's being measured as low, and that's being sort of seen in the approval ratings of the presidential candidates. You know, I think there has been polling done for a generic ballot on congressional races. Democrats see some encouragement from that. In other words, you know, people are asked, would you rather vote for a generic Republican or generic Democrat in the congressional races? That is slightly favoring Democrats at this point. I think that given the overall uncertainty of the campaign season, just the unpredictability of what we've seen so far, I think that not only are us reporters sort of loath to make predictions, I think some of the people that predict the strategists and the party experts that are sort of paid to make predictions are even a little loath to say what's going to happen.
Very good. You referenced it, I think, a little bit ago, but how much of a role here will the way the maps are for incumbent House members right now? It seems impossible to get rid of these guys.
You've seen in a couple states where courts or independent redistricting commissions have gone and revised maps that have been drawn by Republican legislatures, and that has improved the outlook for Democrats. We've seen it in Arizona, in Florida, and in Virginia, where these maps have been sort of been reassessed and reassessed in a way that's favorable to Democrats. And the thinking is that if Democrats can make a more serious effort to get better positioned in state houses, lobby for more independent redistricting processes, that come 2020 they would be better positioned to take that even farther in more states and improve the map further.
Thanks, Mike. Mike DeBonis at The Washington Post. It's 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Good Tuesday to you. So the Mega Millions jackpot for tonight's drawing, FYI, is $260 million. If you take the cash option, you get about $173 million. Is that enough to make you quit your job? MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill says research indicates that even a seven-figure payday wouldn't keep many Americans from showing up to work. Katie, what?
When I started looking at a bunch of surveys, I found that anywhere from half to 80% of workers say that they'd keep working even if they won the lottery. And when you look at what actual lottery winners do, about 80-ish percent of them keep working even after Wow. They've won the lottery, and even when they win millions. So to me, that was pretty surprising because I know what I would do, and it would not be to keep working.
Yeah, it would be an umbrella drink in one hand, that's for sure.
Yep, and yeah. My warm sand on my toes in the other.
Toes in the sand. Very good. So did it matter how much they won? You sort of alluded to it a little bit there, but is that an issue?
It did matter how much they won. So if you won a ton of money, you were more likely than someone who won less to keep your job, which makes sense. However, people with psychologically and financially rewarding jobs, so these tended to be like higher skilled, more professional jobs, no matter how much they won, they were more likely than a lower skilled worker to keep working. So I thought that was interesting. So what you're doing matters a ton to this. So those people could have won millions and millions of dollars, and they still just kept right on working.
Wow. All right, so how do we sign up to at least try this? Is there a way we can just sample that life? That's kind of what I'm looking for.
I would like a sample of that, too. Yeah. For maybe 2 months of the year, I'd like the right. No-working sample. Thank you.
I think I would stay working. I like what I do. And I don't know how I would keep myself busy. Like, I do stuff all the time. I'm afraid I would just rot if I didn't have something to do.
Yeah, you know, what was interesting to me is some people, of course, started their own business or whatever, and I was thinking, oh, you know, that's probably what I would do too. But about half the people just kept their current jobs exactly the way they were. So I thought that, I just thought that was fascinating, because I figured, okay, a lot of people just say, you know what, I'm not just going to retire when I'm 35. You know, if I win the lottery, that won't be fun. I'll be bored, kind of what you were saying. But half the people just kept right on working at their current profession. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Kind of speaks to the fact that Americans are happier at work than a lot of surveys and a lot of the complaining we hear about alludes to.
Well, you know, but if you're a certain age, all your friends are working all day long. So
right.
It's
what are you
like
going to do?
Not like you can schedule a play date with your best buddy. You know, he's got work to do.
No, you're right.
Right?
You're like all of a sudden like, oh, those days off sounded good,
yeah.
But I am bored out of my mind.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Her piece is called "Would You Quit Your Job If You Won the Lottery?" Many say no. Isn't there a startling number, too, of people who actually burn through their lottery winnings? Probably have to work afterwards.
You know what? When I was reading these studies about lottery winners, there is, and certainly some people do burn through their lottery winnings, but there's a lot more stereotypes of people doing that than actually that's what happens. You know, I thought that was interesting. There's also a stereotype that only really poor people win the lottery. You know, you think, oh, well, the person living in the trailers, that's not even true. I mean, a lot of the stereotypes we have about lottery winners burning through all their money and it being only, you know, only like a dirt poor person seems to win the lottery, that's who plays it. All those were kind of disproven by studies of actual lottery winners.
Yeah. You know, and in fact, I was just looking at some of the comments to your story. The number one or the first one posted, one person says, I've been working since I was 13, wouldn't know what to do with myself if I stopped.
Yep, that was a huge, in this survey after survey, people just said, what would I do? I'd be bored all day. Here's something that surprised me about, this was a career builder survey, you know, asking people if you won the lottery, why would you keep working? 1 in 4 said they keep working because they'd miss their coworkers.
Oh,
and I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, it seems like coworkers are one of the main things that I hear people complaining about in the comments section and just in general. But 1 in 4 said they would keep working because they like the coworkers.
How about that? MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill from New York. 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Give your employees the power to do their best work with new, powerfully performing Dell Latitude business class laptops and 2-in-1s. Now with Windows 10, the fastest, smoothest, most secure Windows ever. Your team can reduce downtime by 50%. And boost productivity with 4 times faster performance and 3 times more battery life. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Glad you're with us. 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to Tropical Storm Colin is expected to continue dropping heavy rains over the southeast today after moving across northern Florida, knocking out power and flooding roads. Richard Pasch of the National Hurricane Center says the storm will be felt today throughout the southeast.
We do have tropical storm warnings all the way up around the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
Florida Governor Rick Scott says there's been no reports of major damage, but the state will continue to track flooding. Facing elimination, Bernie Sanders is vowing to win primaries in California and beyond, even as Hillary Clinton secured the commitments of enough delegates to become the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee.
We believe that there is no nominee, that the nominee will not be determined until July 25th.
Campaigning in San Francisco, Sanders declined to speculate to reporters about what a poor showing in today's 6 primaries might mean to his campaign. House Speaker Paul Ryan is proposing the first of several policy plans aimed at uniting Republicans fractured by a contentious election and Donald Trump's personality-driven politics. Ryan's first proposal would make changes to welfare, food, and housing aid to increase work requirements, make the aid more efficient, and allow states to make more decisions about how it's distributed. The Marine Corps has removed the commander of the recruit training regiment in Parris Island nearly 3 months after a Muslim American recruit at the facility died in an incident that's been the subject of internal and criminal investigations. The high-profile removal comes in the wake of a March incident in which 20-year-old Raheel Siddiqui of Taylor, Michigan, died from injuries he suffered in a 3-story fall at boot camp. The incident has prompted questions about whether his death was the result of hazing or had to do with Siddiqui being a Muslim American. The house that inspired the Amityville horror book and series of scary films is back on the market. Listed at $850,000, the waterfront colonial on Long Island boasts 5 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, a large boathouse, 2-car garage, and a boat slip. The listing realtor says the house isn't haunted by ghosts, but by the curiosity seekers who make it difficult to live there.
Ah, I could see that, right? Yeah. People driving by, especially in the summer, all summer long.
They should just turn it into a museum or attraction or something.
Right. Town should buy it or something. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The Denver Broncos paid a visit to the White House to commemorate their 24-10 victory over the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50. President Obama praised the team's season and received the number 44 jersey from the Bronx, along with a signed helmet, which he said he could use because he gets knocked around Washington quite a bit.
I'm so pleased to be able to host Peyton here at the White House before I left. Anybody who's been a football fan has watched what is one of the greatest Hall of Fame careers ever.
Then the president got in some jabs. He jokingly called Brandon McManus the, quote, heart and soul, the horsepower of the offense, teasing the Broncos' scoring offense, which ranked 19th. Out of 32 teams. A couple of players from the Super Bowl team not present yesterday. Quarterback Brock Osweiler, who signed with the Houston Texans in the offseason. And, of course, cornerback Aqib Talib recovering from a gunshot wound to the leg. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, 3 of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 8866 at checkout. Code 8866.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.